Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gilliatti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gilliatti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gilliatti with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Hi, Steve. Steve is coming to us by phone again.
Yeah, I'm in a remote location.
He's in a bunker somewhere.
I'm really ice fishing right now. Don't
well, as long as you're not underwater.
I'm not. No, I tried that once. I did not like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never tried fishing, let alone ice fishing. I always feel sorry for the fish.
Yeah, but God created fish for a purpose of a reason.
That's true. So we can have fish fries.
Exactly.
And fish sandwiches.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Enough about fish.
Back to some serious things. And boy, I tell you, seriously, although we're still getting used to our short half-hour format, even though now we've done, I think, probably five or six shows in the short format, but it's different. But the last three or four shows, we've been talking about the culture, the darkness, the battle between Christ and Antichrist, church and anti-church, gospel, anti-gospel. And last week, and you can go to the website, giftofgraceministries.org, I should add, and you can listen to the shows at any time. And they also go out as podcasts. But last week's show, we talked about how people have kind of gone off the foundation, have been seduced by the culture in so many different ways, and how now there's a remnant of people and there's an urgency now that's needed for evangelization that has to be clear and penetrating with the message getting out in kind of a new, not really a new way because the message is the same, but now there's different ways to distribute the message than there was in Paul's time.
Yes, there is.
He didn't have podcasts or websites or radio shows or any of that. But there's an urgency now because people don't know what the good news is. And every once in a while, although you all know this, of course, it's important to reemphasize that the word gospel is an old English word for good news. And it's called good news for a reason. And you know the when you distort that, Paul talks in Galatians 1 about how you go for another gospel that's not really a gospel at all because there's only one gospel. Then he says if somebody comes and preaches another gospel, get rid of him. If I come and teach you another gospel, get rid of me. If an angel comes and tells you another gospel, get rid of him because there's only one gospel. But in our time, or the last couple of decades or so, people have been listening to any manner of teachers, any manner of other experiences that have promoted a different gospel. And there have been literally tens of millions of people that have gone along with these things in the interest of tolerance and the interests of, well, we're diverse and pluralistic now, so who knows what's right? I don't know. Maybe that's not right. I don't know. I used to go to church, but I don't know. I kind of got tired of it. I used to hang out with those guys over there that do the Bible study, but I don't feel like going anymore. And over time, this has produced this falling away, which also Paul writes to Timothy about as well. And this is why now we're in a position where, and you may have heard people talking about new evangelization. And people in every denomination now that still has some foundation to it are talking about new evangelization. If you're in some other sort of liberal type of situation, you may not think that because you think evangelization is, well, let's just all be nice and accept everybody the way they are, just like Jesus would have. And I often use the example of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, where, yes, Jesus accepts everyone, but doesn't have them remain as they were. He doesn't say to the woman, oh, well, if you want to keep committing adultery, I mean, you know, as long as you're nice, the rest of it is okay. So I'm sorry these guys bothered you, but, you know, I accepted you, so have a nice day. No, he says, don't do this anymore.
I was just going to say, Jesus always told somebody one particular statement when he healed them, and that was, go and sin no more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And he accepted her and accepted the fact that she was being tormented, and he stopped the torment, which is a sign of grace and mercy. But the admonition is, don't do this anymore. If you're going to have metanoia, you have to try to live your life a different way. You're going to live your life a different way. So while it's true, everyone can come as they are, he doesn't want you to stay the way you are.
Exactly.
And this is the whole point of the new life, of a born-again life.
Yeah.
Of metanoia. And so we have to reach people again. You know, this evangelization went on in the first few centuries. And, you know, whoever thought Europe and the United States would be mission fields again? It's pretty hard to believe.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm thinking when you're saying about, you know, this metanoia that needs to take place, you know, Jesus would say in the gospel, you know, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. You know, there's a call to holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real subtle trick when the devil gets us to believe that, you know, why can't I be just like I am, or why can't I be like I want to be?
Yeah.
And God's created us for great things. He's created us to, you know, he wants to really have that intimate relationship with him.
Yes.
To love us.
Yes.
And for us to love him in return. And that we, you know, we're going to spend all of eternity with him because we're his creation. We're his creatures. And he delights in that.
Mm-hmm.
He does not delight in the destruction of his creation.
Right.
So with that in mind, I think it's almost imperative, as I will say many times, the cross of Christ demands a response from me.
Yes.
Because the fullness of love is poured out on the cross. And if I just glance at that, if I just glance at Jesus on the cross and go, oh, well, whatever,
mm-hmm.
then I don't understand what he's done for me.
Yes.
I don't understand the love that he has for me. And it's not that God is, like, somehow deficient. It's my own heart that's deficient, and I don't even know it.
Yes. Yes. You know, as you're saying that, I was thinking, how many people wear crosses around their neck, even crucifixes around their neck, and they just have it as a piece of jewelry. And don't even think about, I mean, I think when it comes down to it, and this is what, you know, happened to me, I mean, everybody has a testimony, and hopefully if you're listening to this, you have a testimony. And if you are listening and you have no idea what a testimony is, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. But I think the basis of evangelization, the basis of salvation, the basis of the testimony is the fact that you have to see how you stand before God. And when you realize how you stand before him, if you don't realize that, you can't understand the need for the cross. You can't understand why this is the only way to salvation. If you think, hey, I'm standing here and I'm good and I've never killed anybody and I work hard and, you know, I do some wrong stuff, but so does everybody else. So, you know, what's the big deal? Or even worse, if you say, that's what you guys believe. I happen to not believe that because the God I believe in would never do that. Or even worse than that, that's just a bunch of nonsense and I don't even want to hear about it. It's very difficult to evangelize people like that if they think that they're okay. If you don't know that you're sick, if you don't know that you're dying, it's very hard to be to have your life restored.
Yeah.
And how you see yourself before God, that has to change.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, your eternal destiny is at stake. But if you don't realize that, you don't see your need for salvation.
No, you don't. No, you don't. And you won't see your need for salvation until, as you say, until that vision of, or that understanding or that realization of yourself changes, and you realize that, you know, without a Savior, I'm dead in my sins.
Yeah.
Then you're not going to seek Him. You're not going to seek Jesus Christ, and you're not going to come to that realization.
Right.
God continually draws us to Himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God desires us to be near to Him, and He will continually draw us near to Him. I think the hardest part for most people in our culture is because there's so much noise in our culture. What I mean by noise is there's so much going on. There's practices, there's events, there's committee meetings, there's a thousand things in a day that everybody's clamoring to do except spend some quiet time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And to try and listen to His voice.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of all that chaos, God can still get a message to you.
Mm-hmm.
He can still speak to you. And it's just like, you know, was it Isaiah that was, you know, they were looking, you know, he was looking for God in the wind, and God wasn't there, but it was in the silence.
Yeah, and, that's Elijah.
Elijah. And it's coming to that place where you can quiet yourself enough that you can hear God speaking to you in that quiet voice that draws you near to Him.
Yeah.
And gives you the opportunity of true repentance for maybe something that you're struggling with and something that you don't understand and something that God wants you to give to Him so that He can free you of that.
Yeah.
And you can draw closer to Him, you know?
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, we always talk about how Satan uses the same strategy that he used in the garden. He has used the same strategy that he used with Eve, because he doesn't come to the culture and say, ha ha, if you do this, if you do this, and if you do this, God will damn you to hell and then you can be with me. Ha 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 ha, that's what I want. No, the strategy with Eve was, oh, no, come on. Did he really say that? Oh, come on. Does he really mean that? You know, you mean to tell me you believe that old superstition from 3,000 years ago? What's the matter with you? Come on. Everything's fine. You're fine. Look at you. You're fine. You go to work. You have a little bit of money. You go out to dinner once in a while. You go to a movie once in a while. Your kids are in good shape. Everything's fine. So, you know, if you're going to listen to these crazies, if you're going to listen to these people who think that they're some holier-than-thou people, forget it. Don't listen. And this is the strategy. And over a period of time, it's like every dictatorship does this. You know, the Nazis did it beautifully. If you repeat something over and over again, people believe it.
Yep.
And it's happened in our country, too. You hear the media just keep repeating the same things over and over again. And whether they're true or not, people will think that they're true.
Exactly.
And so when Satan gives you this lulling, peaceful, oh, come on, everything's fine. You know, you're okay. Don't listen. Oh, come on. Why in the world would you want to go to church today? Why would you want to go to a Bible study on a Tuesday night? Come on. You got a lot better things to do than that. People say, yeah, I got better things to do than that. And you don't seem to be doing anything wrong, but you're drifting away.
Yeah. It's always a gradual, you're always taken away from something gradually.
Yeah.
Satan loves to draw you away from something gradually, because you don't realize how far you've drifted from it until you're so far away from it that he's got you at a different, whole different mindset and a whole different outlook.
Yeah.
And then you don't even, you're not even, what you had before is not even recognizable to you.
Yeah.
Because you think you're still there, but you're actually not.
That's right. And it's yeah. subtle.
It's, you know, very subtle.
You know, Eve didn't start out by saying, oh, snake, I'll do whatever you want me to do. She was lulled into it through an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Through, well, I shouldn't even call it an argument, a presentation. Well, think about this. Does that make any sense to you? Come on.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, even in the book of Revelation, it talks about how, you know, the message of Antichrist can be so intense that even the elect could be lost if that was possible. In other words, even people that are strongly in the church, strongly on the foundation of the church, could be lost because of the power of the message. And it's a kind of an overwhelming thing when you think about it. Who yeah. has the power to resist it? Because you can look, you know, the remnant of people that, you know, we're in, I think, pretty sure, and hopefully many of you are in, you know, when you're in a small remnant of people, you can say, gee, I look pretty stupid when I talk about these things out there at the place where I work, or at the grocery store, or at the ball game, or at the cookout, or to whatever it is. You know, most people don't want to look foolish or look stupid.
Right.
But here we are, you know, and 1 Corinthians, I can't remember what, maybe it's the first, I don't have it in front of me, what chapter it is, where Paul says, hey, if I preach the gospel, that's nothing to boast about, because it's a necessity that's been laid on me. You know, he says, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel.
Yeah.
Because we have to present Christ to everybody, and it doesn't matter what their background is, whether they, you know, went to church once when they were 12 years old, but that was 50 years ago. You have to present the gospel. You have to present Christ to them. You have to present salvation to them, because their eternal destiny is at stake.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jesus even says, you know, you're not going to, if you're not to boast about things, you haven't gone above and beyond yourself, because you're only doing what God's asking you to do.
Yeah.
You know, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I can't say, oh man, look what I did, this is so awesome. No, I'm simply doing what God's asked me to do.
Yeah.
And I need to do it faithfully.
Right. And, you know, he talks about it as a servant, a slave, a doulos in Greek. You know, your job is to make the dinner. You know, that's your job as the servant. You don't say, hey, right. Made the dinner. What do you think? Huh? Did a pretty good job. Hey, do I get some points for that? I made a good dinner. No, your job is to make the dinner.
Yeah.
We all have a job in the kingdom. We all have a purpose in the kingdom. And Paul, of course, who's my hero, Paul's point was he was the chosen vessel to the Gentiles. So he preached the gospel. So he says, I preach the gospel because it's laid on me. I have to preach the gospel. I'm not just bragging that I preach the gospel. This is what I've been told to do.
Yeah. You know, in my experience with ministering with people, especially in the church, a lot of times people want to fall into the, I'm just the volunteer trap.
Oh, yeah.
When somebody says that, what they don't understand is by virtue of their baptism, by virtue of coming to the Lord and making that altar call and that profession of faith, they are now a disciple of Jesus Christ. And more importantly, they're an ambassador for Christ.
Yes.
So to say that, you know, for them to still say that they're just a volunteer, they don't have a clear understanding as to what the transformation is that takes place once you turn your life over to Christ.
Yes.
But your life is not your own. It's now a life that you live in and through Christ, for Christ, to serve him and to bring a harvest into the kingdom.
Right.
A harvest of souls.
Yes.
I love when people say, I'm just a volunteer. Then they give me a great opportunity to witness to them. They're usually not ready for what's coming.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I thinking back to Paul, you know, when Paul showed up in a place and he was preaching this gospel, imagine going to to Rome, which was the center of the world at that time, the capital of the world, and talking about, you know, crosses and blood and Roman citizens going, oh, you know, crosses, that's for criminals and slaves and foreigners and disgusting people. And why are you talking? You know, it's not something you sat around at the Roman Country Club and talked about. And it's not something, it's not something that, you know, you talked about on Roman TV, because that was for foreigners. It was for slaves. It was for disgusting people. And, you know, even today, when you present the gospel and say, this is the only way to salvation, because this sacrifice with a capital S on the cross with a capital C took place, and there was blood atonement, people say, oh, come on. I mean, there's got to be a better way than that. There's got to be something different. That sounds pretty weird. I mean, that sounds pretty weird. That's like pretty weird thinking. So there has to be another way. And I'm a nice person. So what are you telling me about crosses and blood for? I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I want to hear nice things.
Yeah. And it could be a very unpleasant presentation, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every one of us has to come to that place where we stand before Christ and give an account of our lives.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to do that. And in a lot of ways, God's preparing us for that moment.
Yeah. If you're in the general population that thinks, oh, there's all kind of different ways to heaven and it doesn't really matter, one religion's as good as another and all roads lead up the mountain to the same place, then that's fine. Don't evangelize. What's the point? If everything is equally valid, or if you believe there's no afterlife at all, well, you know, you're dead and you're 6 feet under and that's it. You know, why in the world would you want to be evangelized if you're convinced of that? And if you're on the other extreme, if you think everyone goes to heaven, oh, you know, there might be 10 or 12 people in hell, but everybody else is in heaven. Well, then, you know, you're not going to be evangelized if you believe that. You're not going to listen to the message. And, you know, what is this, you know, what is this all about? I mean, why should I bother even preaching if everybody's saved, or if nobody's saved, or if there's all kinds of different ways to go? It doesn't make any sense. So when Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except by me, you know, that's a very narrow statement. People of our time would say that's intolerant and narrow-minded.
Yeah, it is. You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, you know, how St. Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, and he had such a profound encounter with Jesus Christ that he counted everything that he had up until that time as lost.
Yes, exactly.
And his life was so changed that all he wanted to do was talk about Christ and him crucified, because he understood that that was the most important thing and that's all that mattered. And that was the most important thing for a person to know, because it had a direct relationship to their salvation in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There was nothing else more important than that.
Yes, exactly.
And when you have that encounter with Jesus Christ, as people have, that's the fire that we need to keep burning, because that's what impels us to go out and preach the gospel.
Mm. Yeah.
And when the fire goes out, thus the drive, the motivation, it all, that goes with it. You know, it's a long journey, and I think a lot of times people get into the journey and they're not ready for the road that God has them to travel.
Yes.
And you have to take stock of where you're at, and you have to really press in and seek the Lord and ask Him for grace and for help.
Yes.
He'll give it to you.
That's why I say it's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. I can't believe the show's over already.
This show feels like a 100-yard dash.
This is a 100-yard dash. I'm going to have to start talking faster. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would be open to the Lord, be open to the Holy Spirit, to come to faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, who died on the cross at Calvary for your sins and my sins, and for the salvation of the world. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.